Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Is it even replicable to pull off what the Commanders just pulled off this year by making it to the NFC Championship game, considering, like, and this is the biggest thing for me, Jake, like, this, the quarterback classes are not apples to apples, and that's the problem. Because by the time, I think Jaden Daniels had sort of, he was already a hot name when the college season ended. And then by the time the draft rolled around, I mean, you heard all the rumors. If you watched the Giants in-season Hard Knocks, there was all the conversations where Joe Shane was talking about trading up to number two because he really wanted a shot at Jaden Daniels. Or he wanted to get it with New England, I guess, at number three. If in case he fell, then he could get Jaden Daniels. And obviously, it didn't happen. But, like, there was so much hype around that player and him as a guy coming into the league. I don't know if you're even getting any of, like, the Jaden Daniels hype around the two guys that are at the top of this quarterback class right now. And so that's the biggest problem because, yes, I understand where you want to just, like, take the Commander's model and say, look, if they can do it, we can do it. Draft a quarterback. And all the people out there who are team draft a quarterback, they're using that as fodder today to bolster their argument. But I go back to what I've been saying. Yes, it feels very tough to be at the number two pick and not take a quarterback because you don't know when you're going to get back here. But you also can't just take one to take one if he's not going to be a fit for what you want to do, because that could also set the organization back for 3-4 more years while you figure out what you have in that quarterback.
Yeah, you can't just take one to take one, but again, I don't think you have to. The quarterback class itself being apples to apples doesn't really bother me. It just, you have to identify one quarterback. Like, if Jaden Daniels is the only quarterback in the class, as long as he fell to two, you got him, right? You didn't need five guys there. I mean, it helped that Caleb Williams is in the class because then, yes, Jaden Daniels dropped down. Caleb Williams was like a consensus number one. It was perfectly fine. Like, nobody was taking over that top spot. You obviously don't have that. So, like, if Cam Ward is going to be the next Jaden Daniels, well, the Tennessee Titans could just draft him. And that's the problem you run into, is there's not two.
Or vice versa. But my problem is, like, right, if the Browns identify Shador as the better fit, and I know we heard our buddy Lance Risen on with Phelps and Menigan, like, he talked about Shador being the better fit for Stefanski's offense. If we feel like that's true, but then Shador Sanders gets drafted number one overall, Then do you just take Cam Ward because you think, like, well, he's the second best quarterback in this class? Or do you have to, to me, he has to fit what their vision is and fit what they can do. But for a lot of people, I think there's a lot of Browns fans who are just straight up like, no, you take him because you don't know when you're going to be up here again and he's got potential and you just got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, my preference is to take one. Like, if you evaluate Cam Ward and say, yeah, he's also really good, then you just take Cam Ward. Right, like, if you say he's also really good and I can make the system work with him, you draft Cam Ward. Like, hands down, if I like Shador better and he went one, I'm still taking Cam Ward too if I like Cam Ward.
But what if you like Shador and then you have, like, seven or eight players that you like more than Cam Ward,
and you don't take Cam Ward too?
You don't take him, or you do take him?
You don't take him.
Okay.
If you have seven or eight players you like more than him from a perspective of I have seven or eight quarterbacks I like more, or seven or eight players I like more. Because if it's players...
Well, I don't think it's going to be quarterbacks.
Well, obviously, that's what I'm... that's a point I'm making. It's sometimes positional need at the top of the draft... drafting for positional need is dumb in the first place. You shouldn't ever actually go and try to fill specific positions through the draft because it tends not to work out very well for you. But, like, quarterback is the one spot that you have to sort of draft for positional need. Like, if you can go draft one. So, yeah, if you like seven or eight guys more, but you still like Cam Ward that much, you consider him like a top 10 pick? Yes, go draft Cam Ward.
Oh, so you're saying you should still take him then? Like, if Shador goes And
I'm saying if they like Cam Ward at all, if they look at him and say he's a good quarterback, he can fit in the system, you draft him. I don't care if you like Will Campbell more than Cam Ward. You go and you draft Cam Ward because he's a quarterback and everything revolves around that position in this league.
Okay. It's an interesting stance from Jake. I do want to hear some of Meredith's thoughts on this as well, because Meredith is, she is a tried and true DC. What is it? DMV.
DMV. It's what we refer to. DC, Maryland, Virginia.
That's right.
Because it's all the like southern parts of Maryland, northern parts of Virginia.
Yeah.
We're all one big conglomerate.
Right. And so you've seen this team and this franchise at its worst. Now they're in a moment where they're at their best. And I'm curious, like, your feelings on what Washington accomplished this weekend and by landing Jaden Daniels, and whether or not you think that it's something that the Browns can sort of replicate.
I mean, I was thrilled when the Browns, when the Commanders chose Jaden Daniels at number two. He was who I wanted for them.
Yeah.
So when he fell to number two, I was so excited. Saying that it's replicable is really, really hard. And it was something that Jake and I talked pretty extensively about yesterday. And the reason why it would be very hard for the Browns is because the Commanders, when you say like tear it down to the studs, it was literally the stuff.
Yeah.
They got rid of everyone, including the owner. And while I think it probably could be a blueprint on how to have a very fast 1 year turnaround, but I think it was such a unique situation that I don't think that step by step it's replicable.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's just like because I can't even describe how bad it was just like in the 2010s, because for every bad thing that you could think of that the Browns did, including, you know, signing Deshaun Watson, there is something that the Washington football team did between the years of like 2009 and like 2018 that would have been just so much worse, both on and off the field.
Yeah. I mean, listen, with the way Dan Snyder ran that organization, it was a disaster. I mean, there was a case to be made like they were the worst run organization in the league under Dan Snyder. You could honestly, maybe that honor falls to the Browns now, ironically enough, because of the Deshaun situation. Like, that trade is going to go down as the worst trade in NFL history. So I think when you have that on your resume, you just kind of get flagged as the worst organization in the sport right now.
Yeah, it's like a default, right?
Yeah, it's just,
nobody. You don't actually have to look at anything that goes down. It's just like, Oh, yeah, they signed Deshaun. It's those guys.
They're the worst. Yeah, no, honestly, that might be true. Like
it could have been the New England Patriots and have been like, worst run organization in football.
It wouldn't matter who it was. Yeah, it could have been the Steelers, and they would have just been tapped with that, even though they have Super Bowls and all that. I think what Meredith says is accurate. Like, it isn't something – the situations themselves aren't apples to apples, because Washington did have a whole bunch of other changes that happened. I also do think, though, like, Washington just it happened at the right time for them. Like, you were stepping into a class that had a bunch of names of guys that they thought could be good at the NFL level. This year is a little more hit or miss, where it's two guys that people feel somewhat good about and the rest of the class is just very eh. And like, that's why it's interesting, because if you were to trade out and use your picks for something else, if you get a first rounder for next year, that's the path back into the top 10 next year to draft that potential quarterback in a class that already is getting talked about as maybe having more than two players that could pan out, because you got, obviously, Arch Manning could be in that class. People really like Drew Aller, and his stock could rise with another year of college under his belt. And there'll be others that kind of emerge here. But this is why it's so interesting, because, yeah, like, as much as we want to look at Washington as the blueprint, and it is the blueprint, like I said, I use it as an example of why you don't have to blow it up, even though the Washington did kind of blow it up. But at the same time, like, you got to have the right crop of guys coming out as well to make it work and know that you can get that guy. I just don't know if that's this class.
I just don't see why it can't be. Why does it have to be a star-studded quarterback class compared to just all it takes is one guy. It is one guy that has to fall to you at two that can completely change it around.
When you say it like that, it makes it seem like you just kind of like blindly draft him. Like, you just kind of go in and you're like,
no, I'm just saying you identify.
Yeah, we got it. One of these guys is going to pan out. Let's see if it's us. But I feel like that's how the Browns have done this for years, right? And that's why they've missed on so many quarterbacks.
No, you're not just blindly drafting. But if you identify Shador as like, hey, this guy is really good, right? We think he can be an amazing quarterback, and he drops you at two. Why can't it be replicated? Like, again, Jane Daniels, I think, is an extreme case. I don't know that I'm saying the Browns can go and make an AFC championship game, but in terms of turning a 3-14 season into a very successful one, Why can't that just be a good quarterback sitting there?
Yeah. Well, and there's other hurdles with Shador, which we'll talk about coming up later in the show, because if he is the quarterback there too, would he even play for you is on the table. Let's go to the phones though real quick. Cool Ray in Bedford. What's going on, Cool Ray?
What's up, Cool Ray?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So I hear y'all talking. I hear the pundits always saying that there's not a good quarterback in this draft, or there's not a quarterback who wouldn't take it number one or two or whatever. But my question is this, is that if Shador Sanders, let's use him, he goes at number one, it turns out to be great. Wouldn't that make everybody feel like they don't know what they're talking about? Because I can give you two examples. I can give you Brock Purdy, last man drafted, is having a great career so far, and Carson Wentz, number one pick, didn't do anything. So there, you have to – the Browns could not duplicate.
Oh, okay, well, wait, but didn't do anything is kind of unfair. Carson Wentz, he was a number two pick, and he was on an MVP caliber season towards ACL.
Yeah.
Number two pick, went to a team that was loaded, couldn't even win it, but his backup won the Super Bowl. So – and then he's been moved around. So my thing is this. The Browns cannot – I love the Browns. That's my team. They won't be able to duplicate that because fundamentally they're wrong. Fundamentally is that when you say we need a quarterback that only fits this coach's system, what happens when that coach leaves? What happens if – then we have – so you have to look at – don't the Browns can't go into this draft saying I need to start a quarterback this year. They have to say – whoever we're going to get, we have to coach this person up, and he will not touch the field till next year. Even look at
all right, yeah, no, Corey, I got you, I want to try to squeeze in one more here before the break. What I will say real quick on that though is like they have to go into this offseason knowing they need a quarterback because they literally need a quarterback. Like that is the thing. But also, you bring up you talk about like guys fitting systems. You can't use Brock Purdy then as an example.
Like, yeah, like
Brock Purdy is the poster child for hey. Quarterback that fits a system and he's taking his team to the Super Bowl. And that I actually think helps the Browns' argument because that tells me they can go find somebody that just fits Kevin Stefanski's system and they could, you know, accelerate to the Super Bowl potentially.
That's why they drafted Brock in the first place. It was right. Like, ah, we need another backup quarterback. That kid pretty much fits everything that we like to do here.
It was supposed to be Trey Lance and then that didn't work out. Well, real quick, Mike and Geneva, you got like 30 seconds, man. What's up?
What's going on, Mike?
I got to kind of steal my thunder. You got to go after the quarterback that truly fits Stefanski's system the best. If Shador is it, you might have to trade up maybe with Tennessee and try to get him. If Cam Ward doesn't fit, you have to do it. Like Jaden Daniels, I don't think he does what he does if he got drafted by with Chicago. No. I think that's a horrible fit. So go after the QB who fits Stefanski the most. If they don't like him, maybe trade down, take Carter, get Mason Graham, do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
QB is the best.
I feel you. I feel you, Mike. I appreciate that. And on some level, too, like some of this will fall on Stefanski and his coaching staff. Because, yeah, like if you get a Brock Purdy, somebody like that, it's about being able to coach that guy up to play your system and do it well, right? Like that's why Shanahan gets touted as being as good as he is. So whoever you take, that is an element of this as well. But it is an interesting situation. I think it's fun to dream about replicating what the Commanders did in finding that franchise quarterback with the number two pick and just, you know, being knowing that you're set for life. It's not always that easy because the draft, frankly, can be a crapshoot. You miss on a lot more guys than you sometimes hit on. 216-474-92. We do need to step aside. Matt Verderam, excuse me, from SI Now, coming up next, we'll pick his brain on this conversation. Also, some other stuff going around on the NFL, the playoffs, and much, much more. Keep it locked. It's Spencer Jimmer with you. Also, Jake Volnick here on The Fan.